ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் தி ஃபைன் ஆர்ட் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன், தாட் டயர்ட் அண்ட் டிசையர், எனர்ஜி அண்ட் மெடிடேஷன், ஓவர் கம்மிங் கர்மா. பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
மிருஜுங் சிவா, லெசன் 253. வாட் இஸ் மெடிடேஷன்? மெனி சீக்கர்ஸ் ஒர்க் ஆர் ஈவன் ஸ்ட்ரகல் ரெகுலர்லி வித் தேர் மெடிடேஷன்ஸ், எஸ்பெஷலி தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் ஜஸ்ட் பிகினிங். ஹவ் டஸ் ஒன் நோ இஃப் ஹி இஸ் ரியலி மெடிடேட்டிங் ஆர் நாட்? தட்ஸ் எ க்வெஸ்சன் that a lot of people who meditate ask themselves. When you begin to know, having left the process of thinking, you are meditating at that point. When you sit down and think, you are beginning the process of meditation. For instance, if you read a metaphysical book, a deep book, and then sit quietly, breathe and start pondering what you have been reading, well, you're not quite meditating. You're in a state called concentration. You're organizing the subject matter. When you begin to realize the interrelated aspects of what you have read, when you say to yourself, "That's right, that's right." When you get these inner flashes, the process of meditation has just begun. If you sustain this intensity, insights and knowledge will come from the inside of you. You begin to connect all of the inner flashes together like a string of beads. You become just one big inner flash. You know all of these new inner things. And one insight develops into another, into another, into another. Then you move into a deeper state called contemplation, where you feel these beautiful, blissful energies flow through the body as a result of your meditation. With discipline, control of awareness, you can go deeper and deeper into that. So, basically, meditation begins when you move out of the process of thinking. I look at the mind as a traveler looks at the world. Himalayan Academy students have traveled with me all over the world, in hundreds of cities, in dozens of countries, as we've set up ashrams here and there on our Inner Search Travel Study programs. Together we have gone in and in and in and in amid different types of environments. But the insight is always the same wherever we are. So look at the mind as the traveler looks at the world. Just as you travel around the world, when you're in meditation, you travel in the mind. We have the big city called thought. We have another big city called emotion. There's yet another big city called fear, and another one nearby called worry. But we are not those cities. We are just the traveler. When we're in San Francisco, we are not San Francisco. When we're aware of worry, we are not worry. We are just the inner traveler who has become aware of the different areas of the mind. Of course, when we're aware in the thought area, we are not meditating. When we're in the intellectual area of the mind, we have to breathe more deeply, control the breath more, and move awareness out of the thought area of the mind into the next inner area, where we begin to know. Such an experience supersedes thinking, and That is where meditation starts. I'm sure that you have experienced that many, many times. Many people use meditation to become quieter, relaxed, or more concentrated. For them, that is the goal. And if that is the goal, that is what is attained. And it's attained quite easily. However, for the deeper philosophical student, the goal is different. It is the realization of the self in this life. Meditation is the conveyance of man's individual awareness toward that realization. Each one, according to his evolution, has his own particular goal. If he works at it, he fulfills that goal. For example, a musician playing the piano might be satisfied with being able to play simple, easy tunes to entertain himself and his friends. Yet, another musician, more ambitious in the fine arts, might want to play Bach and Beethoven. He would really have to work hard at it. He would have to be that much more dedicated, give up that much of his emotional life, intellectual life, and put that much more time into it. So it is in meditation. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 254. Meditation is a fine art. Meditation is a fine art and should be approached in the same way the fine arts are approached. That is the way we teach meditation at Himalayan Academy, as a fine art. The artist teachers are not running after the students. You don't learn a fine art that way. You go to your teacher because you want to learn. You might go a long distance. You want to learn, and so you study. He gives you something to work on. You go away, and you work on it, and you come back having perfected it. That's how we expect academy students to progress along the path. Something has to happen on the inside, and it usually does. Controlling the breath is the same as controlling awareness. They go hand in hand. During meditation, in-breath, the heartbeat, metabolism, it all slows down, just like in sleep. You know, deep meditation and deep sleep are extremely similar. Therefore, the practice of pranayama and regulation of the breath, the pranas, the currents of the body, should really be mastered first, in the very same way the dancer doesn't just start out dancing. He starts out exercising first. He may exercise strenuously for a year before he begins to really dance. The pianist doesn't sit down at the piano and start with a concert. He starts with the scales and with the chords. He starts by limbering his fingers, by perfecting his rhythm and posture. Meditation has to be taught like one of the fine arts. It's only the finely refined person who can really learn to meditate. Not everyone who wants to meditate can learn to meditate. Not everyone who wants to learn to dance or to play the piano can learn how to really, really do it. We need this preparation of the physical body so that the physical and the emotional bodies behave themselves while you're in a deep state of meditation. Your breath will slow down until you almost seem to stop breathing. Sometimes you do, and you're breathing with an inner breath. You have to educate yourself to that so that does it make you fearful and bring you out of meditation with a jerk and a gasp, which can then inhibit you? You can get fearful in meditation, so good basics must be learned for one to become a deep meditator. You can spend hours or years working with the breath. Find a good teacher first, one who keeps it simple and gentle. You don't need to strain. Start simply by slowing the breath down. Breathe by moving the diaphragm instead of the chest. This is how children breathe, you know. So, be a child. If you learn to control the breath, you can be master of your awareness. The sense of bhakti yoga, a sense of devotion, is extremely important on the path. Unless we have a great bhakti, a great devotion, we can easily be shaken from the spiritual path. It's the fuel that keeps us motivated. If we prepare our room before meditation by lighting an oil lamp or candle, a stick of incense, or only setting out a few fresh flowers, it puts us in a state of readiness. And for any serious thing that we do, we must prepare. If you're going to cook a fine meal for a special guest, you take a bath first. You prepare yourself. You get ready. You get mentally, emotionally, and physically ready. Meditation is the same thing. Physical preparations have their effect on the mind and emotions too, turning awareness within and creating a mood and environment where there are fewer distractions. If you would prepare for meditation as exactly and precisely as you prepare yourself in the external world to go to work every day, your meditations would be much improved. Om Namah Shivaya. Virgin with Shiva, Lesson 255, Thought, Diet, and Desire. Devotees occasionally ask, when you experience a thought you don't like, should you go around the thought or go to the center of the thought and find out why you don't like it? Look at thoughts as people. I see thoughts when I'm in the world of thoughts like a school of fish. I'm there in the ocean, sitting and looking, and a school of fish goes by right in front of me. Well, look at thoughts as people. You are aware of other people, but you are not other people. You are just aware of other people. So, when you see someone you do not like, you do not have to do anything about it. Let him be. It's the same with thoughts. When a thought comes passing by that you don't like, let it go. You don't have to glue yourself onto it and psychoanalyze it. It doesn't do the thought any good to be psychoanalyzed by you. A vegetarian diet is a big help on the spiritual path, of course. It's only one of the helpers on the path. I've worked out a very simple look at food. I look at food in four ways. You have four types of food: fresh food, dead food, clean food, and dirty food. Not necessarily all fresh food is clean food. Much fresh food that we get nowadays is dirty food, because food is like a sponge. It will sponge up into itself chemicals, smog, and inorganic substances. These are harmful to the physical body, because the physical body is organic. So, The object of nutrition for meditation is to eat clean, fresh, organic grown food and to avoid eating dead, chemically grown food, dirty food. Every time you have a delicious dinner in front of you, ask yourself the question, is this clean, fresh food or dead, dirty food? Or is this clean, dead food or is it fresh, dirty food? After that, have a wonderful dinner, if you can. Basically, we eat one-third fruits, nuts, and seeds, and two-thirds fresh vegetables, salads, grains, and dairy products. Such a diet keeps the physical and emotional forces subtle and refined, which therefore makes meditation subtle and refined too. The within is very refined. We always try to the best of our ability, and we're not finicky at all about watching the combination of foods. We have talked before about desire and transmutation. The idea of transmuting one's desires really means becoming aware of something inside that you want even more than the external desires. Ultimately, man's greatest desire and urgency is for the realization of the self in this life. The core of his being, realize that and live with it and enjoy it while on this planet. Once we intensify that desire, other desires become less intense only because we are less aware of them. They are still intense for the people who are aware of them because they still exist right in the mind substance. Here is a wonderful meditation that I think you will enjoy. It shows you how simple the mind can be. How many hairs are there on your head? Thousands. But there's only one hair in the total mind structure. People have thousands, and animals even have more. But basically, there is only one hair. Think about that. There's only one eye. People have two, and so do animals. But study one eye, and you know them all. There's only one tooth. People have a lot of them, and so do animals. But there is basically only one in the universe of the mind. Meditate on that and bring everything to the one. Then, when you get it all worked out, that there is only one hair, there's only one eye, there's only one tooth, there's only one fingernail, and there's only one of everything. Start throwing those few things away. Throw away the tooth and make it disappear. Throw away the hair and make it disappear. This will take you right to the essence, the total essence of your being. Of course, probably, your awareness will wander in the meantime and you won't get through this meditation. But keep working at it and working at it and really make everything extremely simple. We look at the world with our two physical eyes and we see such a complexity that it's almost mind-boggling to encompass the entirety of it all. It's much simpler than that on the inside. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 256, Energy and Meditation. Highly emotional state should be avoided by one who meditates. The reaction to the emotional experience is too strenuous for him to live with. It takes quite a while for that reaction to reenact back through his nerve system. When one goes through an emotional state, it takes 72 hours for the basic emotional system to quiet and about 1 month for him to unwind out of the reaction to the action. So, he must really watch the emotions and keep that power very much under control. Therefore, one who meditates should not argue. One who meditates should not allow himself to become emotional. Then, should he suppress his emotions? Well, if he is so emotional that he has to suppress his emotions, then he is not going to be meditating anyway, so we don't have to bother about it. Let's intensify a few ideas about meditation. Put power into your meditation. Put power into your meditation so that whether you sit for 5, 10, or 15 minutes a day, you go into meditation with full force and vigor. In this way, you come out of your meditation with something more profound than the thought or feeling you took within. You then begin to build up a tremendous dynamic force, a reservoir within yourself, which acts as a catalyst to push you on into contemplative states. A contemplative state of consciousness is by no means a passive state of consciousness. It is a very dynamic state of consciousness, so dynamic that the best you can do is to sit still without moving physically as you begin to enjoy it. Meditation, as you may know, is a very active state where every thought and every feeling is directly under the flow of your will and cognition. Of course, we must remain relaxed also, being certain not to externalize our efforts to become outwardly fanatical or pushy. There is an inner will and an outer will. We must use the inner will in our daily efforts to meditate. Meditation does not have to be prolonged to accomplish what you want, to gain an unfoldment through your perceptive insights. 10 to 30 minutes is enough in the beginning. However, after you have finished with a dynamic meditation, you might sit for a longer time in the bliss of your being and really enjoy yourself as the pure life energy radiates through your nervous system. Meditation is essentially work, good hard work, and you should be willing to work and expend energy so that you can meditate. Karma yoga activity, the ability to serve in the temple selflessly, wholeheartedly and accurately, is a must if you want seriously to amalgamate the instinctive forces that demand reward for work and be able to meditate with full force, vim and vigor. There are many ways to prepare yourself for meditation. First, generate energy. Jump up and down. Exercise. Do knee bends. Do push-ups. And get your mind active and interested in something. It is impossible to meditate unless you are interested in what you are meditating on. Perhaps you have found this out. Then, sit down dynamically. Close your eyes, breathe, keeping your spine straight and the head balanced at the top of the spine. The spine is the powerhouse of the body. Feel the power of it. Now go full force into the challenge you have chosen to take into meditation. Observe, investigate, elucidate, and stay within. Keep your body motionless until you bring out something more than you intellectually knew before, a new observation or a new thought sequence. your meditations cannot be a milquetoast state of consciousness, a passive magnetic state of mind. Om Namah Shivaya.
Two.
Merging with Shiva. Lesson 257. Overcoming Karma. Seekers ask, how can I stay awake when I meditate? I fall asleep almost every time. This happens even during the day. It's terrible. The answer is, it is absolutely impossible to go to sleep while in meditation and still call it meditation. It is possible to put the body to sleep deliberately and then go into meditation. If you catch yourself dropping off to sleep while sitting for meditation, you know that your meditation period is over. The best thing to do is to deliberately go to sleep, because the spiritual power is gone and has to be invoked or opened up again. After getting ready for bed, sit in a meditative posture and sit in a meditative position and have a dynamic meditation for as long as you can. Then, again, when you become sleepy, you may put yourself to sleep by deliberately relaxing the body and causing the pranas to flow. Mentally say, prana in the left leg, flow, go to sleep. Prana in the right leg, flow, go to sleep. Prana in the right arm, flow, go to sleep. Prana in the left arm, flow, go to sleep. Torso, actinodic prana, flow, go to sleep. Head with inner light, go to sleep. Then the first thing you know, it is morning. How does meditation affect one's karmas? Karma is congested magnetic forces, and meditating is rising above karmic building influences. You can control the congestion of karma by avoid the congestion and thus control your karma. This proves to yourself that you are the creator, the one who preserves and the destroyer simultaneously on the higher levels of consciousness. Yet, you have to come back occasionally to the little old you on this level and do the things that you have been accustomed to doing as a human. Until you fully have the complete realization of the self-God, the Im Kaif experience. Then you penetrate the doors of the Absolute into the core of existence itself, and you become the self that everyone is searching for. But to overcome karmic patterns, the will must be tremendously strong and stable. And that means we must demand perfection in our life. Why would you ever want to place demands of perfection upon yourself? You now walk the path of perfection, and you must be so to walk that path. What is this perfection? First, it is a clarity of cognition. Second, it is a bursting of actinic love for your fellow man. Third, it is an openness and a willingness to serve and fit in any capacity. Fourth, it is living a contemplative lifestyle, better every day. Fifth, it is mastering all of your yoga disciplines given to you by your guru. Sixth, it is the ability to hold responsibility, maintain a continuity of your own karma yoga, and have the yet have the mobile quality to be ever ready to do something different without losing continuity of what you have been doing and holding your responsibility. If you can gear yourself to accomplish all this, you're on the path of enlightenment, and you will surely prove to yourself when you have your realization that you are a free man in a free world, subject to nobody. Again, that you are a free man in a free world, subject to nobody, to no power, even the power of karma. How could that which is formless and causeless be subject to anything? Om Namah Shivaya.